morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Is everybody having a good time at the Florida Council of the Blind? I'll take some hands, some clapping if you are. All right, well, welcome to Electric Youth. And maybe a few of you might be wondering, why is he moderating a panel, Electric Youth, when he is much closer to the candle flame than the bright fluorescent light of youth? But it is because I believe in Electric Youth. And a little bit later on, one of our panelists, there's only three because our key panelists are you all in the audience. She is splitting her time, Miss Janine Lee, and she's going to tell you why Electric Youth a little bit later on. In a few moments, we're going to hear from Gabriel Lopez Cafati as well. But to start off this session, I want to ask a few basic questions. Who in this room believes that they'll be sitting in another hotel room somewhere 5 years from now, enjoying another Florida Council of the Blind convention? All right, you guys don't have a great estimation of yourselves. Let me try that one more time. In 5 years, how many of you think you're going to be sitting in a hotel room at a Florida Council of the Blind convention? All right, how about 10 years? And that is the reason for Electric Youth. We do a lot of amazing things in the Florida Council of the Blind. And before my time, I am told that we were also amazing at recruiting new members. But as the world is changing, we've heard in various panels over the last 2 days, the world is changing rapidly. And one of the things that is changing as well is there is a lack of participation in consumer organizations, grassroots organizations. Well, how do you combat that? We offer community. We offer family feeling. We offer steps and tools for advocacy. We offer social events. We offer conventions like this. We offer knowledge. What a knowledge base we have. If there's a technology question, we can go to a list and throw it up there and have 25 answers in your email box, plus the I agrees and yes, totallys, in a matter of hours. And your answer is your problem or your situation is probably solved. We have knowledge to offer. Where we are falling short is we're not adjusting our ideas of how to offer that knowledge in a way that is attractive to the folks who are coming in who need that knowledge. And we spoke about, in the last panel, we spoke about the rapidly changing technology. We're not hitting technology the way that we could be. We're not asking those that are coming into the organization to teach us how to communicate with them. So that's the spirit of today's panel. There's going to be a lot of interaction, but we're going to hear from Gabriel Lopez Cafati, who Debbie was so affectionately calling our naturalized citizen. And I couldn't think, I mean, of course, he's my partner, so, you know, I really would want him on the panel anyway, but I couldn't think of a better person to talk to us about the spirit of Electric Youth, because he's the living embodiment of Electric Youth. He came to the Florida Council of the Blind as a scholarship person. He is now the chair of scholarships. He is now sitting on our national board, and I wouldn't be speaking at this mic today if he didn't introduce me to the Florida Council of the Blind and extol to me all of the many reasons that I would flourish by being a part of this amazing family. So without further ado, Gabriel is going to tell you what Electric Youth is striving to do, how we envision setting up a core of you guys who can explain through personal stories and, you know, the cheat sheets of all the benefits that we offer in the Florida Council of the Blind. So, Gabriel, thank you.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I thought you were going to say that I'm the embodiment of Electric Youth because I am so young. Welcome, everyone. Electric Youth is, as the word says it, you know, electric. We're moving or trying to move at the pace where we are being attractive for our younger generations. Now, the purpose of Electric Youth is to give our organization a lot of sustainability. And that is to have people who we can mentor and we can pass along all the knowledge that we have acquired throughout many, many decades. We have in this organization, today, this weekend, for example, we have in this organization people, I don't want to say any adjective, let's say seasoned, or who have been around for so many decades, like Carl McCoy, Doug Hall, Paul Edwards. And we have people who are just coming into the organization, like our scholarship recipients from last night, Kaylani, Valerie, Justin. So we have everything in between. We need the mentoring and the knowledge base that Anthony was talking about from those who have been around for much longer, and that, you know, Anthony and I are slowly moving towards that group as well. So basically, it's a collaboration. It's a collaboration of storytelling and knowledge passing, and just a feel that we are sharing and we are extending the life of our organization and ensuring that it'll be in good hands when we are not capable or even around to take care of the organization. But into happier thoughts, the plan for this year is our committee, Education Leadership and Scholarships Committee, is going to be working directly in this Electric Youth Project. Like Anthony said, we're going to be visiting colleges, universities, high schools. We have great contacts and relationships with the disability service offices of each one of them. And the idea is to get some more feedback from our younger blind and visually impaired folks in the state of Florida of what is it that they want, how is it that they envision them being incorporated and enfolded in the Florida Council of the Blind, and obviously tasking them with some responsibilities, because we believe that if people are not held accountable, they will never feel the ownership for the organization. So it's okay to feel nervous at the beginning, and that's what we're here for, to support and to mentor our newer members, our younger members, and to make sure that they develop that muscle memory, that confidence to be able to carry out the programs and the business of this organization by themselves in a future. So having said that, we're also going not only forward, we're also going a little bit back in time, and we're going to be reaching out to some of our scholarship recipients from past years. There's a phenomenon that has been happening where we have our brilliant scholarship recipients, and then sadly we don't hear back from them. So we want to change that, and we want to make sure through interactive dialogues of how is it that we can make Florida Council of the Blind attractive for them to stay. And that's why we have also partnered up since last year with Calm. Sometimes your local chapters are not the most attractive for you as a college student to join, because probably your local chapter has been meeting for 20, 25 years, and they, you know, they have the same kind of meeting. But we don't want to change a dynamic that works for members who are already used to it. We can assist your local chapters in creating new environments, new spaces, new activities for you. But we also want to let you know that there is Calm, which is an organization that is more virtual, and you can join them as well and still be a part of Florida Council of the Blind. So you're not limited to your local chapters, although we highly encourage membership with your local chapters, because It's always good because there are issues that you will face that will need to be dealt at a local level. So those are some of the projections for the following year. We want to increase our membership in younger generation, and we want to not only have you have your dues, but have your involvement with the organization. So I don't know what's next in the program. Okay, back to Anthony. Okay.
To expand on what Gabe said for a moment, the COM chapter, first and foremost, congratulations to Terry, Janine, Peggy Carpenter, John, you know, the force that brought that chapter out of an idea, out from an idea to a full-blown thriving chapter. We recognize that convention is high time. We get excited. We want to advocate. We want to get involved. But, you know, there's a national convention coming. It's summer. There's family, the end of school. So although we're hoping that you are fired up today, we're hoping that you carry this fire through the next couple of months, because you probably are not going to see signups for Electric Youth until the fall. But they will be out there. And we're hoping that we can build an ambassador corps that will be willing to talk either virtually or, you know, in person at colleges, at high schools, reach out to the local organizations for not only our community, but all of the disabled community, to let them know what we do and who we are and how great the family of the Florida Council of the Blind is. So first, I want to ask, are any of our scholarship winners in the room today? All right, thank you so much. Dan, get ready, because now it's the audience participation time. I'm going to ask everybody to be as brief and succinct with your answers as possible. Try to keep them to about 2 minutes so that everybody can get a chance to share if they would like to. When you first came into the Florida Council of the Blind, someone who was your FCB hero, and what you found about them that made you want to be more involved. Dan, we'll take some hands. I'm sorry? No hands in the room?
Hi. I joined back in 1997, I think it was. And I didn't know about it. My mother read an article about a blind bowling league in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I went, and they told me about the council. And I went, and I've been a member ever since. And it's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. Was there anyone that stood out that affected your style of being involved? All right, do we have any more hands in the room? Do we have any hands on Zoom?
Currently, there are no hands in Zoom.
All right, folks, come on. You guys are the star of the show today. Next question. All right, we got another one.
It's Deborah Kendrick, and I wasn't going to speak up, but I think I should, because the example that just occurred to me is so, okay. So if you had asked about early on mentors bringing us into ACB, I would have said the day that I met Durwood McDaniel in 1984, that made a huge impact on my life. But you want to know about Florida. So it happened that the next year I had the beginning of what would be a long, as Lemony Snicket would say, a series of unfortunate events affecting my mobility. And I wound up in the hospital in Tampa and then in a short-term rehab facility in St. Pete. And I knew no one, and I had no clothes, and I was going to be going to physical therapy every day. And all I had were the pajamas. And so I called Jim again, and he said, talk to Kathy Worth, who was then the president of Pinellas Council. I didn't even know this person. And I said, can you help me find somebody that I can pay to go shopping? And she said, I'll go. And she got her son to take her to Target, and she showed up at my room that night, and the rehab facility with a pile of yoga pants and t-shirts. And I knew that I had to get involved with Pinellas Council. So
thank you. Thank you. That's something that is.
We don't think about, you know, little acts of heroism that bring people in, you know, that when you reach out to someone with that kind of kindness. So anyway, I think it's something that we all can remember and try to do for others and for one another.
Well, I couldn't think of a better example. That is exactly what I was hoping to hear, or something like it. So that'll lead us into question number two. Let's flip the script. What do you have? And we'll take two hands and one in Zoom. What do you have to offer to the Electric Youth that we're inviting into the Florida Council of the Blind? Dan, any hands? Oh, come on, folks. We know as blind people, we are not shy. Who has something to offer to the youth of our organization? Any hands on Zoom?
No hands on Zoom. Actually, no one is on the attendees' side, so.
All right. Well, I was just told that one of our scholarship winners came into the room, so I am so glad that Justin from the Miami Beach chapter, I feel almost like a proud parent to a certain extent. Justin, could you say a few words about what it felt like last night to be recognized and what you will gain and accomplish from being a member of the Florida Council of the Blind?
My pleasure, Anthony. I just felt so honored to be surrounded by so many great advocates, and I will grow every day. I already have a great group of people surrounding me. I know Anthony has helped me grow as a person, and I want to thank you for that, Anthony. Learning stuff, learning something new every time, and every time I talk to Gabe or Anthony on the phone, it's just I come out more proud to be an advocate.
Thank you so much, Justin. There is not a doubt in my mind that you just heard words from a future president of the Florida Council of the Blind, if not a future president of the American Council of the Blind. So I'm going to throw the question back out again, but using Justin, I'm going to use you a little bit, buddy. So don't feel bad. I'm putting you on the spot. But instead of telling, you know, in a general way, what does the Florida Council of the Blind have to offer? What do you as an individual? Let's talk to Justin. Let's tell him. What do we have to offer? Why should he tell his friends to come and be a part of this great organization? I really hope I hear some hands go up.
It is wonderful to you know, get that check, which you know, I'm sure you'll use for, you know, buying a new laptop, or maybe you'll use it to party when you graduate in December. It's okay. But, and of course, the okay. Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Justin. So, but what, you know, the two things that I think you and every scholarship recipient who comes into this organization are vested with is a set of rights and a set of responsibilities. So the responsibilities, you have been awarded a scholarship that has been named after someone who has had a greater impact, not only within the Florida Council of the Blind, but within the blind and visually impaired community and the disabled community, not only in the state of Florida, but in many cases nationally. So your responsibility as a scholarship recipient, as all scholarship recipients, is to carry the torch of that name. And that's why we are so careful and so meticulous with the criteria of our scholarships, same as our awards committee, because we want to recognize people who have exemplified, probably not the full extent of the person that they are being awarded after, and that you will be able to continue their legacy. So that's the responsibility part. Now, the rights, you have a plethora of rights. You have, first of all, a family, which embraces you and welcomes you as you are. You have a bank of information, like Anthony was saying. We're blessed with so many amazing individuals who know a little bit or a lot about everything. So you're going to find anything and everything under the roof of the Florida Council of the Blind. So that's your right to access that network of people. And ultimately, it's not only the knowledge and the experience that you will receive as a young person coming into the Florida Council of the Blind, but you're also going to receive that free ticket to a wonderful networking system that has all, that has taken decades, 7 to be exact, in the making. And you get the right to enjoy this network, this family, today, just by being here. So I would love to instill that in every young member, in every scholarship recipient, in every new member that we gain. So I'll let Dan tell us if we have any raised hands.
We can hear from Justin again.
Thank you for that, Gabe. And let me tell you, I do not take this lightly. I will honor Nancy's legacy because I don't take it for granted, and I will never stop advocating like I'm sure Nancy would want me to do. So I just want you guys to know that I really don't take this lightly. Make you guys proud.
Thank you so much. Let's have a round of applause for Justin and all of our scholarship winners. And please let us encourage you to use that membership to ACB students to network with other folks just like you, Justin, all around our great nation. One of the things that I've always strived to remember is that so many brave and amazing people walked, screamed, sang, fought, walked the path so that it was so much easier for me when I came and started out advocating and taking the mantle for things like gay marriage and don't say gay, all of that. And when I thought about putting together this program, my hope was to energize everybody to remember what it was like when they first came here. It's not that long ago for me. It's less than 6 years. And the first time I walked into this hotel, I probably should have been wearing a Depends. Let's put it that way. That's how scared I was. But I put on a brave face because I wanted to learn and I wanted to figure out where. And that's the energy that can be harnessed and can be used to make sure that someone is here 70 years from now celebrating the 140th anniversary of the Florida Council of the Blind. So I did promise some fun for this program, and our other panelist, who is splitting her time between two panels, as soon as she comes in, she's going to bring the fun for us. But I'm going to throw it out there again. Hans, tell us what you think Electric Youth should be. Any hands, Dan? Any in Zoom?
No hands.
Just give us a moment, folks. We're getting our other panelists. All right, so Janine is going to explain to us why we picked the name Electric Youth, and then we're going to have some fun Florida trivia.
And now we turn into the fun portion of our program, and who better to bring the fun than Miss Janine Lee? Please enjoy Florida State Trivia with Janine and her assistant, Anthony. And now we turn into the fun portion of our program, and who better to bring the fun than Miss Janine Lee? Please enjoy Florida State Trivia with Janine and her assistant, Anthony.
All right, there are prizes, so I really hope there are more hands this second half of the program. Dan, do we have Janine? Okay. Gabriel, can you vamp telling us what it was like for you?
Yeah, I was actually going to, even before, because I became actually a member of the Miami Beach Council of the Blind before I was a scholarship recipient. I was not so involved, but it so happened that 1 year, I think it was a year or two before I got my scholarship, the back then president and actually founder of the Miami Beach Council of the Blind, David New, asked me to come represent the chapter as a board rep in the fall board meeting, which happens usually the first weekend in November. I was literally terrified. I did not have a guide dog, which was a changing point in my life. So I remember I would run from the meeting rooms back to my room. Okay, Janine's here. So now you see, you can shove me up.
Janine, you missed your introduction by Rose Samuelson, but I'll play it again later.
Did he really introduce me?
He did.
Oh, you cannot. No way.
Yes. And if you need a mic for the audience, you can come take mine.
Okay. I have mine. Hi, guys. How are you? I'm so sorry I'm late, but I'm so excited to be here. I'm going to turn off the alarm because I didn't. Thanks. So my name is Janine Lee, and I am so excited for Youth, and I'm so excited for whoever's in this room and on Zoom. I am really passionate about Electric Youth. I've been passionate about youth and young people ever since I was a young person back in, I'll just say it, back in 88, 89. So for me, I believe being young, people like to dismiss people who are young, and people don't want to listen to your ideas, and you can be innovative and you can make change. And a lot of people say we've been doing this way for a long time. If there was never change, nothing would change. Like youth are so important. For me, Electric is amazing. I always am like, it's electric. Well, it's a quote from someone. So if someone tells you can't do something, or that's just your chance to advocate. It's really important to get involved when you're young and start at the bottom and work your way up. It takes a long time to learn things, but I think youth has really strong passions, which is why I have an idol, and Anthony has an idol, and I'm not being a fangirl right now, but this person I looked up to so much. I got so much inspiration from this person, and that person has a really good mantra. So Electric Youth is the perfect way to say it, because people told this person they couldn't do anything and they worked really hard. So we're really excited to Anthony, I, Gabe, some others. We're really excited to start the youth and work with youth and grow our, in Florida, our students and our young people. We want you to advocate. We want to help you grow and succeed and be our new leaders. If you want to be the president, let's do it. let's work for it. If you want to own your own company, let's do it. That's what electric youth means. So, yeah.
All right.
Is that what you wanted me to say?
You have some fun trivia for us, right?
I do. Oh, and I have candy too, right? Okay. So you forgot the candy. That's okay. Find me later. I have candy. Okay. So the first question for anyone here, are we picking people or are we just picking random? Anthony.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are we, I don't know how many people are here. Are we picking, is everybody answering or are we?
You're going to throw out the question and the okay. First hand that goes up, Dan is going to take.
Okay.
But let's remember our Zoom people too. So let's do the Zoom question every like two or three questions.
Okay, perfect. So my question is first, who wrote the song Electric Youth? Can anyone raise their hand and tell me that? Peggy Carpenter's raising her hand. She's my president. Is there anyone in the room that knows that answer? Dan? No? Yes? You know the answer. Okay, so Peggy Carpenter, who wrote Electric Youth? Oh, they're on webinar. Someone has to unmute her. Okay, I'll wait till she's unmuted. And my second question is, who holds Guinness Book of World Records for the youngest female ever to write, perform, produce a number one song? Who has that? Any takers, answers? Maybe it's Taylor Swift.
I'm going to put them out of their misery.
No.
Let's go to the Florida trivia. The answer to both of those questions is Miss Deborah Gibson, the writer of the song Electric Youth.
Well, Deborah Ann Gibson.
You are the world's number one Debbie Gibson fan.
I'm actually not.
All right, okay. Florida next State question. Trivia. Let's go, Janine.
Yeah, let's do it. Florida and Braille trivia. Dan is going to go first. What do you want?
Okay, so name one of the two Florida cities with an elevated transit system funded by the Urban Mass Transit Administration's Downtown People Mover program in the 1980s. Okay, so.
Jacksonville.
Correct. The other one?
Go ahead. Miami.
Correct.
All right, you don't get a prize, though. You're a facilitator. All right, give him candy. He deserves candy.
How can you identify the button to push in an elevator to exit the building?
Ask the hotel staff.
It usually has something like main in Braille on the label, or sometimes it says ground, or sometimes it says one.
There's a raised star.
Correct. And sometimes it's a weird building and floor 3 is the exit. So you can't always depend on it being 1.
So can anyone tell me what the Florida Project is? Or is known as now? Yeah, we're asking, they should know, everybody should know. So does anyone have their hand raised what the Florida Project is and what it's known as now? This one's really easy. We answered this at my panel yesterday, if you guys went. No hands, how about on Zoom? Someone on Zoom must know. Anyone? Peggy's only on Zoom. Okay, anyone? Okay, so Gabe, since Gabe knows, who does? Peggy, let's do it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the Insight Project.
No. Braille question.
Okay, why is Braille not considered a separate language?
Coming from a teacher of the visually impaired, Braille is a code, not a language.
Yeah. Very good.
It's a way of writing in existing language. Okay, so So before modern railways and highways, what river was the main access to Central Florida from the north?
The St. John.
Correct, Peggy. St. John's.
All right, I'm going to throw one. Oh, no, I don't have a bro one. I have an aviation one. Does anyone know which city in Florida holds the distinction of being the first city a passenger air flight took off from? All right, go ahead.
I think we're saying Petersburg.
It was. Very good. Is that Deborah?
Oh, Janice Revel.
Thank you. All right, Janine, what do you got for us?
Name three ways a completely blind person can distinguish ketchup and mustard in their home.
I really just wanted to say, hey, Janine, that was me who knew the star. It's Deborah Kendrick. Anyway, but okay, three ways for completely blind, so you can't see the color. Okay, let's see. So the obvious way is smelling it. The next obvious way is tasting it. Okay, there's got to be another one. I mean, it used to be that ketchup came in a tall, skinny bottle shaped like a beer bottle and mustard in a short, squatty one, but that isn't true anymore. A Braille label on each bottle. And let's see. Well, that's enough. That's enough. That's four.
Microsoft Seeing AI. Who remembers Tap Tap C?
Thank you. Yeah, and there are UPC readers and other possible answers too. Okay, in Maitland, close to here, Amtrak shares tracks with CSX freight trains and what commuter rail system?
Delort. Sunrail?
Correct. What braille-like mats are used on walkways to warn of danger ahead?
Truncated domes.
Correct. Yes. All right, fill us in.
Smart guess would be probably because they wanted for the capital to be closer to the rest of continental U.S.
No.
Okay.
No, because back when Florida became a state and the capital was designated, there were most of the population was up in the north because it was before air conditioning had been invented.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense living in Miami.
So what's your name? Oh, I'm Randy. Oh, Randy Reed.
Randy Reed, yeah.
Yes.
All
right. Starts with this.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Please consider becoming an ambassador.
Talk in your mic.
The next generation.
Yes.
Absolutely.